We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's pick up with verse 18, where we've been for several weeks here, where actually this passage begins with verse 15 and comes all the way down to verse 21. And Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as foolish people, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is for you. And also do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." This text, this command to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, this command to redeem the evil days in which we live in, this command to live wisely is the same thing as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called us. They're all united, they're all related to each other. Put another way, this is our joint, our mutual worship. This is how we worship God. This is the procedure. This is how real, genuine worship occurs. Satan always tries to counterfeit the things of God. God created everything beautiful. Satan comes in and tells Adam and Eve, you know, there's another way that's even better. Everything that we find in Scripture that God commands His children, Satan's got a counterfeit. God wants us to worship Him in the beauty of holiness, we read in Psalms. There is a beauty in a holy life, in a worthy life, in a wise or circumspect, as Paul here says. There is a beauty in living the will of God in your life when the Holy Spirit fills your life and transforms your life. And so we have this specific command that we've looked at for several weeks in verse 18 that says that we as Christians need to be full of the Holy Spirit, and if we are, then we will worship God in the beauty of holiness, or we will worship God the way God deserves to be worshiped. God told Aaron, says, don't just come into the Holy of Holies whenever you feel like it. There is a procedure. There is a sacrifice that needs to be made for sin. First of all, your sin. Then the sin of the people. And then you will make a sacrifice and bring the blood into the Holy of Holies and present it there before the God, the Holy God. And to us, it may not be a very beautiful scene. In fact, it's a very ugly scene. If I can use the expression, it's a bloody scene. When God clothed Adam and Eve with skins. Where did the skins come from? They were from animals that God sacrificed. It was a bloody scene. To us, sometimes worship is not the beauty that God describes in the Word, because it involves the blood. It involves the blood of sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But God wants us to follow the procedure that He gives us, regardless of how or whether or not it appeals to us. Sometimes worship of God involves obedience and submission to His Word that in our life we don't want to submit to, but yet God calls us to do that. And that is all part of what Paul is opening up here in this text, verse 18, that says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And last Sunday, we took a look at several specific phrases in Scripture that define and open up to us several different ways in which the Holy Spirit ministers to Christians in our life, and how they are different than being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing we noted is that being filled with the Holy Spirit is different than being baptized with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the method through which we become born again. It's the method through which God unites us with His church, the body of Jesus Christ. To be baptized by the Holy Spirit simply means to be saved, to be added by God to His body. But that's different than being filled with the Holy Spirit, what Paul here in verse 18 says. Secondly, to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit is different than to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Bible Hours, we're going through Romans chapter 8. Repeatedly, it talks about the Holy Spirit living in our life and through our life and producing His fruit in our life. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, but that occurs at the moment that we are saved. The Holy Spirit comes, indwells us. He moves into our life. Do you not know that you are the temple of the... Your bodies are the temple of God. And so the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 teaches us that all Christians have the Holy Spirit in their life. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a child of God. And so being indwelt by the Holy Spirit is different than being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll see what that means. Thirdly, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a sealing ministry. It seals us. And that's different than being filled with the Holy Spirit. The moment we're saved, God seals us. He put His stamp on us. His stamp protects us. It says that we're God's children. Nobody can tamper with that seal, particularly Satan. But being sealed with the Holy Spirit, that is forever. That's different than being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you might ask the question, well then tell us, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, let's look at what the dictionary defines the word fill. And then maybe we'll understand what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. And we need to look at not only the English or the Russian or the Spanish or any other language, but we need to look at the language that Paul wrote this in. He wrote it in Greek. And in Greek, there's three related but different and unique aspects to the word fill. The first meaning of fill is literally what we would call fill a glass with water. In the Greek specifically, it uses a sail in a boat that gets filled with air. And the result of a sail on a boat being full of air is what? The result is that the boat moves. Okay? So keep that in mind. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit will move you, will move your life. You will not stand still in your life if you're full of the Holy Spirit. Peter, in 2 Peter, he uses this expression to speak about the process through which God gave man revelation. God opened up His Word. He says, the holy men of God, the men that God chose to give them through the Holy Spirit His Word for them to write down, the Word that you hold in your hands today, if you brought the Bible to church, that process involved them being full of the Holy Spirit, and they were moved, literally in the Greek it says they were moved along, they were carried by the Holy Spirit to a position of understanding what they were supposed to write down as God on their mind impressed the Word of God, the revelation of God. So the first meaning of to be full of the Holy Spirit and the command here is for our life, like a sail or like a bottle or like a wineskin that they used in the days of Jesus, is to be full, to have it filled. And we don't fill ourselves. Who fills our life? It is the Holy Spirit Himself. When the Holy Spirit moves into your life and when He fills you to overflowing. You know, there's this incorrect teaching. And we sing a song that says, all to Jesus I surrender. And some people say, well, okay, I haven't surrendered everything to the Lord. So today I'm going to surrender a little bit more to the Lord. That is not a biblical teaching, because when the Holy Spirit, when God moves into your life, He moves into your whole life, not just your brain or not just your heart or not just your ears or your eyes or your hands or your feet, but all of you, every cell has to breathe. Breathe God, breathe His Word. And so this first meaning is to be full. Secondly, and related, it's not a different meaning, but it's related. To be filled means to be flavored. Now, ladies that cook, you know what a marinade does. You take some meat and you put it in a marinade, and the meat begins to absorb the juices and it begins to take on the flavor of the marinade. In those days, they would take salt, and they would, and we do that today too. We use salt to preserve things. So the Holy Spirit, when He fills our life, He flavors our life. And the Holy Spirit has a specific flavor that's different than the spirit of the world. John writes in 1 John, youth, as you've been reading 1 John, he says, don't love the things of the world, but love the things of God. There are specific ways that God flavors your life with the Holy Spirit when you're full. So when you're full of the Holy Spirit, He will fill your life, He will flavor your life, or marinate your life, if you will. And Paul in Romans 12 says, let your mind be transformed by the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of God fill your minds and your hearts richly or fully. It means marinate your brain in the Word of God, or let the Word of God flavor and influence your life to the point to where you begin to be carried along as a ship with the full sail by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So that's kind of the second meaning. And it also has a medical meaning of being flavored, or to be full of medicine, to be treated with something that controls or flavors you. And remember, Paul is making a contrast in verse 18 with being drunk or with being under the influence of alcohol. To be full of it, to be controlled by it, to be carried by it or moved by it. Do you see the contrast of being filled with the Spirit of God and to be flavored and influenced by the flavor of God? And that's the third related meaning of this word. To be full of the Holy Spirit means to be literally influenced by the Holy Spirit, or full of it. To be filled in this context is a command in a continuous sense. It literally reads in the Greek, Paul commands the church that you be continuously filled, or be continuously filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. And the result, verse 19 and 20 and 21, is godly, holy worship. A bubbling up of joy that comes out of your heart. A Christian that's full of the Holy Spirit, that's full, he's going to sing, he's going to be joyful, he's going to be happy. The Holy Spirit will be influencing and carrying you along and flavoring your life with His fruit, with His harvest. But to be filled in this context, and it's different than to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit or united to the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. To be indwelt, or to be filled, as Paul uses this word here, in comparison to alcohol, demonstrates to us the temporary nature of being full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like the wind that would fill a sail. You know, have you ever seen a balloon go flat? Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit, please don't misunderstand me. He comes into your life and He moves into your life and He stays in your life. That is the process of regeneration. But the command to be filled is specifically for the purpose of ministering in the church, ministering to each other. Remember earlier in chapter 4, we read about the gifts that God gives to the church. What is the reason that we as Christians have spiritual gifts? So that we could minister and serve each other. And the Holy Spirit, when He fills our life, He gives us the power to minister. An example of this is Peter. When Peter is close to Jesus, when he's standing in the presence of Jesus, he's under the influence and the control and the flavor of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus says, "Who am I?" Peter, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what does Jesus say? "No, Peter, you're so smart." No. Jesus says, "Peter, the Holy Spirit said that through your mouth. Now let's go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified to die." And what does Peter say? You know, Peter stops talking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. What filled the mind and the heart of Peter? Fear. He says, "Jesus, what, why are you going to go to Jerusalem and die? No way, let's go the other way. And Jesus turns around and says, Peter, Satan's speaking to you. Get behind me. Not in front of me. The cross was in front of Jesus. You get behind me. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He controls what we think and what we speak, and He flavors our life, and He leads us in God's way, not in our way of thinking. There's a way that you think, there's a way that God thinks through the Holy Spirit influence you. And it's a temporary thing. You see, one minute Peter was with Jesus saying the things of the Holy Spirit, and the very next minute he was controlled by Satan. You know, one minute Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. He says, Jesus, can I come to you? And Jesus says, come. And Peter starts walking on the water. And one minute he's walking on the water. Who you have walked on water? Peter was walking on the water, and then the next minute, he was sinking under the water. And then the minute after that, in the power of the Holy Spirit with Jesus, Jesus takes him by the hand, and Peter walks again. Peter walked on the water two times. He walked, and he sank, or started to sink, and then he walked back with Jesus to the ship. You know, Peter in the garden, he takes out his sword, and he's going to fight the whole Roman army. And he tried to take off the head of one of the servants there, and he missed. He just cut off his ear. A couple minutes later, away from Jesus, Peter denies Jesus. 40 days later, 43 days later, 50 days later, the Holy Spirit descends. Peter gets up, and he preaches under the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit gives us power to serve and to minister in the church. And to live for God. It gives us power to fight sin, to live a holy life. But it is only as temporary or as long as we're in the presence of God. As long as the Word of God is filling our hearts fully, overflowing in our hearts. That's different than being baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's different than being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Our status as sons of God and daughters of God does not change. But whether or not from minute to minute, we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit depends on if we're full. Now, to be filled or to become drunk, there's a parallel there. The person that consumes alcohol makes a decision to do that. Alcohol just doesn't find its way into your body. You have to make a conscious decision to do that on a repetitive basis. Over and over and over again, you do that. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is similar, Paul says, in the same way. You need to get up every day and minute by minute walk with God, walk with Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And every step you take, ask God the Holy Spirit to fill you and help you to take that step. It's a decision you make. And Paul writes here and says, be filled. Make the decision in your life that you're going to live for God and let the Holy Spirit lead you. And the result is, He will. And the result is, you will worship God in the beauty of holiness. And one of the characteristics of believers in a church, as I mentioned earlier, is that the church sings. One of the characteristics of a person that's under the influence of alcohol is that he sings. But notice there's a difference. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that reflect the beauty of God's Word and glorify God in worship. And we'll talk about that next time, God willing. Amen.